Blog Talk Radio. everybody, and welcome to Delicious Talk. This is your host, Gail Delicious Johnson. How is everybody doing this beautiful Friday evening? I'm doing great. I'm doing just great. Tonight is open topic. That means we're going to be talking about any and everything. And if you have a topic or something you'd like to discuss, feel free to call in. Or if you're in the chat room, post whatever you'd like to talk about, and we'll do that. The call-in number is 646-652-2877. The number is 646-652-2877. With that, I'm bringing my co-host, Rhea. Hello, Rhea.
Hi, how are you?
I am fantastic. And yourself?
I'm good.
We got our cold weather
here, and it seemed like when it first turned cold, for some reason, this city acts like they done lost their mind, like they don't know what, you know, cold, just like when it first turned hot.
Mm-hmm.
They just, it's like, really? You know, everybody's complaining and everybody's just, it's like, can we just go home?
Well, you know, it was almost 80 here today.
Yeah, I saw somebody post and I'm like, wow, we are getting down in the 30s tonight.
Wow.
And it was such a big drop because it was almost 80 yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's supposed to chill up tomorrow, but, you know, I can deal with it because this summer was a scorcher, so I'm ready for a little cold weather, you know, not too cold, but, you know, just cold enough like it should be. So with that being said, I want to express something that happened to me today, that I found out today. Well, for those who don't know, I had a publisher in 2000. I think we parted our ways in 2011 because in January I started my own publishing company. But what happened anyway, you know, when you leave one publisher, you leave everything with them except for what belongs to you, and that's your electronic files or any monies or anything like that that belongs to you are supposed to be rendered to you, but you can't take, you know, your ISBN number. So anyway, I finally got my book, my very first book, to be put back up on Amazon because it was taken down during that process of us, you know, going our separate ways. And so I went on there today, but I didn't know until I called Amazon and then I called the print company. I went on there today, and my book is on there, and it's for $143 new and $132 used. Now, grant you, my book is worth every penny of that, but my book is only $14, so I called Amazon. They tell me that I would have to call the print company because they're the ones who, you know, put it up. I called the print company. They had no knowledge of it because she told me that my book would, it was approved last night because I sent the little thing in and all this and that, and she said it would be a week or two before it even goes up, something like that. But I noticed that it said sell by seller is or something like that, but didn't have sold by Amazon. So I looked on the thing and I saw these two, I guess, people who get people's books and sell them. But my thing is, how did they get a hold of a book, or not unless they're claiming this, I don't know, a book with my old ISBN number on it, which was property of my publisher, my ex-publisher, and they have it on like the inside showing, and it's really a mess. But I'm just saying, why do people feel that they can infringe on people's private property and business? Because I never gave anybody the permission to do that. Now we have to give somebody the permission to do that. You know, even for my publisher, you know, I had to give her the permission to be able to put that up on Amazon when she did. You see what I'm saying? So I'm calling the print company and, you know, asking them, you know, what's going on? What is this all about? And then when she told me that, the information that I just disclosed, I said, oh, my goodness, you know. So anybody who's out there listening, went to Amazon, saw my book up there, don't even, you know, pay that any attention unless you see when it does come up, it'll be $14. and it'll have, you know, sold by Amazon, opposed to somebody taking it upon themselves to put a book on there for $143. What kind of mess is that? You know, so I'm just venting about that because tonight is open topic. But, you know, I was really upset about that. And then I
Is, with Amazon, I could have bought your book and had it sitting on my shelf.
Mm-hmm.
And I decide I want to sell it.
Right.
I don't have to have your permission to sell that book.
But you know what? My thing is, they just putting this book up today. And I don't know, well, I don't even know how long it's been up because I just went back on there today. I don't know.
Right. See, this is the thing. Sometimes, okay, in my opinion, and maybe I'm being naive or whatever, mm-hmm. there had to be some kind of demand that ran that price up like that for somebody to think that they can get that book for that kind of thing, that somebody would be willing to pay that kind of money for that book, number one. Okay. Now, unless this is just somebody being totally foolish, prime example. There was a Beverly Jenkins book that was out of print.
Mm-hmm.
And if you went to the used book site to get that book,
mm-hmm.
that book was $232.
Whatever. Are you, do
you understand what I'm saying? Now.
Yeah, I understand.
Just now. She's a top seller author, whatever you want to call, however it's termed.
Right. Right.
And if I am a collector of her books, some people do things like that. To me, that's ludicrous. I looked at it and laughed. Because I knew that was not going to happen, even though I did pay $35 for a $4.99 book. But anyway.
Wow. You must have really wanted that book.
I did. And you know what? Then I felt, let me tell you how foolish I felt. The next year, she re-released it.
Wow.
But I tried to appease myself at first, you know, trying to make an excuse for myself, because I really did book. But I tried to make an excuse for myself. I said, well, at least I got a first print. I got the original print. Yeah, right. Okay, whatever. You know, I was just trying to make myself feel good. But I would guess that somebody, there could have been talk about your book or people were searching for your books. And that one came up like that. To me, it just has to be a reason for them to think that they can get that kind of money for a $15 book.
That's what I'm talking about.
It's like, really?
Because if that's the case, I'll sell the book for $140.
Because it's like, wow, but that's what they do on Amazon, on eBay,
Have.com.
People sell their stuff. They sell their their private stuff. Maybe it
was
one of those people who saw you on the red carpet that night and thought you were more famous than you are.
Mm. But, you know, when I was with my publisher, my book, You Might Get Lucky.
All right.
I went on the internet, and it was selling in the UK for $37.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And that's when, you know, it was you know, when I was with my ex-publisher. Mm-hmm. So, and then I'm just wondering, you know, when they get these books, and then it should be a thing where that's like a little bit of infringement, I think, because they're going to get $143 for that book. I'm not going to get a dime of it.
Exactly.
You see what I'm saying? It'd be something different if we got together and say, okay, you sell a book for $143 and give me whatever, half or something like that. You know, you do that. But mm-hmm. That's like an infringement to me. That's why I am so upset, because number one, it's not even the ISMB number ISMB number, not to say that anybody's going to get paid besides the person who is selling the book.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, just for them to do something like that.
Yeah, ethics come into it. But, you know, because I remember there was another one of, back to the same author, there was another one of her books that everybody wanted. And it was on AUverse.
Right.
AUverse, because that's where I got it from, after speaking with her directly. And on AUverse, it was $18 plus shipping.
Mm-hmm.
And I think AUverse is print on demand or something like that. I think that's what it is. I really don't know. But anyway, there were two books that somebody was selling for, like, one was like maybe $57 and one was like, let's say, not even $75 or something like that. Mm-hmm. And what they did, they found her Yahoo group, because she had a group on Yahoo.
Mm-hmm.
They found the group and posted the link for the selling of the book in the group.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking that these members of this group were, you know, wanted this book so bad that they were going to pay that money for it.
She turned right around and she put a post in it. If you want this book, you need to go to AUverse. And she posted the link for AUverse like every morning, every night, so that, for one, because she doesn't get it, she don't get any little benefit of that when they sell those books like that. And she pointed that out. True enough,
mm-hmm.
You know, she said that's taking money out of my pocket,
right?
So she
and
feels like,
you,
and it's true. That's
right, and
taking advantage of her readers,
right?
So I
right.
Don't get me wrong. I was stating what I was. I was kind of playing the devil's advocate. I know exactly
mm-hmm.
what you're saying, but.
Mm-hmm.
I was putting it out there for that other side, and they
mm-hmm.
do that. They do it.
Wow. Well, you know, I guess in, you know, a few weeks or whatever, my book will be up on Amazon. It will be $14, but I you know, I'm going to watch that page that they have on Amazon and see it, because they have two new books and two used books. The used book is $130-some, and the new book is $142. So I'm going to see if they successfully sell any of those books, because that's...
I can't see it, though.
Huh?
I can't see it.
I can't
either,
but, you know...
It's not like it was a limited edition or anything, but that's stupid.
Yeah, it is. Yes, it is. Very stupid, you know, but... I don't know. Maybe I don't know. I can't even imagine, because I know the last time I paid over $100 for a book was when I was in college, and that was a college book that I had to pay over $100
for. You had no choice.
Right.
Exactly.
But it's nowhere in the world I'm going to buy a novel for, no, not at all. Not at all. Even when I did the John Holmes book, I think that book was, how much was that book? $25 or $35 or something like that.
Okay.
But when I was with, we had a Blog Talk Radio show, and we got the book, you know, for free, because I don't really like to pay all that money for books, you know, not unless it's, you know, a school book or something like that.
True.
Now, I pay that much money for my baby daddy book, but... he the only one.
When I saw that picture I posted on your wall, I said, I know somebody that enjoyed it.
Thank you, darling. You know I love me some Smokey Robinson. Girl, I've been loving him since back in the 50s when I... I just love me some Smokey. You know, I don't care what nobody say. This... A friend of mine, she said, I don't like Smokey. I said, what? You don't like Smokey? She said, no, because he can't sing. Well, honey, must be something wrong with your ears, because he can sing. He sings, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah, so we're going to get into it. I have something that I picked up off the internet, and it's 21 Ways
Rich People Think Differently. We're going to dissect some of these. Okay, the first thing is average people think money is the root of all evil. Rich people believe poverty is the root of all evil. Now, I'm going to say this. The love of money is the root of all evil. Poverty can cause some things to go bad if you don't have money, because if a person is living in poverty, but it's not the root of all evil. The root of all evil is the love of money, and rich people love money. So I can't understand why they say poverty is, and they feel that way. Why don't they give some of them people in poverty some money so they can feel the same way they feel?
Because that only pertains, you know, they rich. So for them to be in poverty, that would be evil.
Right, so that goes to show that the problem is with them.
Exactly. I definitely agree.
Wow. Okay, the second thing. Yeah, the second thing, average people think selfishness is a vice. Rich people think selfishness is a virtue.
Oh, wow.
What do you have to say about that, Rhea? Average people think selfishness is a vice.
I mean, it's time when people should be selfish, in my opinion, but it definitely is not a virtue.
Mm-mm.
Because we're here amongst each other. You're not meant to be selfish, but there are times when one should be selfish and one should look out for themselves, and then
right.
Other things can fall in place. And I just totally, you know, but I know one thing: it's not no virtue.
Yeah, I don't believe that either, because selfishness is not a vice. So.
I agree. I don't think it's a vice. That's why.
It's not a vice.
Not in my opinion. But that goes back to what you said for that first one. Poverty would be criminal to them, and being selfish is probably what helped keeping a lot of them out of poverty.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, virtue is conformality to a standard of right, morality, a particular moral excellence, mainly strength or courage, valor, a commendable quality, merit, active power to accomplish. So that's not, how can they, well, that's what the rich think. Okay, the next one is, average people have a lottery mentality. Rich people have an action mentality. Okay, I don't think that I don't think all average people have a lottery mentality. You know, some people, average people have an action mentality as well, but they just for some reason can't get to where they're trying to go because of some obstacles or something causing them not to get there. But a lottery mentality? The next one is, average people think the road to riches is paved with formal education. Rich people believe in acquiring specific knowledge. Well, they say knowledge is power, but, you know, that's a form of education as well. So
also, exactly.
You know, I don't know what they mean by that, but that's just what the rich think, okay? Average people see money through the eyes of emotion. Rich people think about money logically. Don't you get emotional when you have money because you have to spend it for this and spend it for that? And I'm quite sure rich people think about money logically. What makes them think an average person can't think about it logically and emotionally? You think?
Okay. That's another one that don't quite. I don't necessarily agree with that.
Okay. We got a caller with their hand up. Maybe they could chime in. Caller 402, are you there?
I am here.
What do you have to say? It's Black Man. This is Black Man 37.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is.
Is that the fire department that I hear in the background?
Yeah.
Not with me.
In front of my house.
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay.
Well, somewhere down the street, I can see the lights flickering.
Oh, okay.
I think it was an ambulance. They just left.
Oh. Okay. So what do you have to say about any of these I've read so far, Black Man?
Yeah, they definitely see it differently. And then I would also say that they make their money off the poor.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they stay wealthy. And they do see it that way. But yeah, you know, they see it as, they always talk about how bad it is for the poor people, or that the poor people make it worse, but they make their money off the poor. So.
Yeah. Then they put their foot in their neck.
Oh, yes, of course. And they give you the illusion that you think you can be like them. So.
Yeah. Okay, the next one, average people earn money doing things they don't love. Rich people follow their passion. Wow. That kind of hurts because I'm doing what I love. I'm following my passion. So am I rich?
And my answer to you is yes, you are.
Thank you, darling.
Regard, in this regard,
mm-hmm.
People who do what they like are rich in a lot of times when it comes to health, definitely when it comes to stress, and things such as that. They're rich because they control those things, and those things are not overrun if you're in a job that you don't like. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, that goes back to one time, Qantas, I think that's how you pronounce them. That organization came to the YMCA my children were part of, and they
mm-hmm.
gave the Title 20 families gifts for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Title 20 was the ones who the federal government subsidized your tuition into the after school program, and I
mm-hmm.
was a Title 20 family, right? So
mm-hmm.
your whatever you pay is based on your income, and so this one little boy, he was a very envious-hearted little boy anyway. He was mad. They had a special day that they brought those families in. And they did
mm-hmm.
it like that so that the other children that weren't getting gifts wouldn't be there. They did it purposefully. Well, this
mm-hmm.
woman used to buy as a babysitter. So she would drop her kids off and leave, and they would always end up in the family room, which is where their program was. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So when he came in there, he saw him getting all the gifts, and he didn't get no gifts. He was upset, and he went running to his mama and saying, "Why Tristan getting gifts? Why Tristan in that room? What? That's my son. Why Tristan is this? Why Tristan is that?" And her mama said, "Oh, that's because he's poor."
Mm.
So they're giving them gifts because they're poor. So
wow.
Michael came back to school the next day, and he talking and teasing Tristan, telling him, "You poor, and you this, that, and the other." So Tristan came to me and said, "Mommy, are we poor?" And I looked at him. Tristan, why'd you ask me that? Because Michael said we poor. I said, "Tristan, do you have food? Do you have a home? Do you have clothes on your back?" I said, "Are you a happy little boy?" I said, "But you rich and everything that accounts." And the cones are down. And he said,
yeah.
"We're not poor." And I just sat there and I laughed at it. And that goes back to that same, you know, that mentality of being happy with who you are, because I think some things are a state of mind.
Mm-hmm.
Were we financially challenged? Oh, heck yeah.
Wow.
But I'm not going to sit there and tell you we were poor. We were a loving family that was happy in our existence, and even though we were limited in our resources at times, that didn't distract from who we were. Those times were just a little bit leaner than the other times. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it was like, I think certain things are a way of mentality, and if you do what you like, I think, for one, you're going to be more successful at it. But you're
right.
Definitely going to enjoy the experience a lot more. And to me, that takes you into that other realm.
Right. Yeah, I agree with that because I'm doing what I love to do. Now, grant you, when I started my job, I started off as a career, then mm-hmm. it ended up being a job, and I got blessed because a blessing came upon me because I was supposed to be retiring this year, but God saw that I didn't want to be there anymore, and I got out. How I got out was a little tough, but you know, due to a car accident, but it was a blessing when I look back on it, you know, because it was, you know, getting to a point where I dreaded going to work. I hated going to work, you know, so I knew I still had to pay my bills. I had to keep a roof over my head, this and that, but you know, it was getting to a point. It just turned into a job. So I was blessed, even though an accident took me off my job, and I didn't see that till later, but you know, it was a blessing for me to happen. And I pursued my passion because I've been writing since I was 9 years old. So, you know, I do what I love to do. Then, okay, the next one is average people set low expectations so they're never disappointed. Rich people are up for the challenge. Wow.
I disagree with that.
I do, too. I do, too. Because look at Les Brown. They told him he was stupid. They told him he was retarded and this and that. But he didn't give up. And look what he's doing now. You know, a lot of people, they may have started off setting low expectations, but then they excelled. You know, then you do have people who set low expectations so they won't be disappointed. But that's not to say the average person does that.
And I'm sure you have those that set low expectations because of their level of confidence or, you know, belief in themselves and things such as that, if they set them. Because I don't think they set expectations. That's why, you know, they just be. But the one thing I can say, so far, at least 50% of the things you have read, I think that's adequate in the way that they view other people. Not all of them, but some of them, I think that goes along with the way they view other people. And, you know, people make the excuse they just don't know no better. That's a crap.
But the source where this paper came from, too, you have to look at that as well. Because they speak in the average people. You know, who are the average people?
Exactly.
So, and who are the rich people?
Well, the average people, the 47%? I'm stopping. Wow.
What do you have to say about that black man?
Well, some people do who aren't wealthy, but the ones that are wealthy, yeah, they plan all right, but their type of scheming and planning is not the same as the person that's trying to get up and live a comfortable lifestyle. You know what I'm saying? The ones who are wealthy are always scheming to keep those who are poor in the poorhouse.
Right.
They're always looking to keep groups fighting one another while they continue to steal, lie, and murder.
Right.
What they want.
That is true. Okay, the next one, average people believe you have to do something to get rich. Rich people believe you have to be something to get rich.
Well, that's BS because a good portion of them that got rich got it because of their family that passed it down the money generation after generation after generation.
Exactly.
So that's probably what they mean by be something, because if you come from a rich family, then that's going to make you be something.
Be what?
But see,
a member of a rich family?
No, because they said that rich people believe you have to be something to get rich. I'm just saying, if you come from a rich family, you are going to be something. You're going to be rich. So that's what I'm thinking. That's you know, what they mean by that. Because a person who does something to become rich is more of a person that I would look upon. You know, somebody who hit the bricks and, you know, did this, and the next thing you know, they're a millionaire. But somebody who just inherited money, what did you do besides be somebody's daughter? Paris Hilton, you know, the people like that. She's nobody, but she's going to be somebody because she has rich parents.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The next one is, average people believe you need money to make money. Rich people use other people's money. Yes, they do.
That they do. That's a fact.
Look at Madoff.
Yeah.
He used everybody's money.
Yep.
Yes, he did.
He took it.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's true. And, you know, you do need money to make money, but you also can use other people's money, which, you know, they do.
That's true. I know
they
when I was in school, several families sent their children to school and had them withdraw before they go to school for 2 weeks and then they withdraw in that third
mm-hmm.
week. And you get a refund on all your monies. So part of the reason they did it is because student loan interest rates was so much lower than other loan rates or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and then they would take
mm-hmm.
that money and invest it in a business.
Mm-hmm.
I know
wow.
we know of two families who started, that's how they started their business.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like,
that's
wow.
how they do.
Wow.
That's how they do.
Yep.
That's how they do. The next one, average people believe the markets are driven by logic and strategy. Rich people know they're driven by emotion and greed.
Mm. Mm, that's interesting.
Yes,
yeah.
It is.
Wow,
yep.
Okay.
Rich people believe they are driven by emotion and greed. Why does
that
it have to be?
That one contradicts that other one, though, because that one brings emotion on that other side, and I think it was number one.
Let me see, which one was that, the emotion?
One of them said that
average people see money through the eyes of emotion.
Exactly.
Rich people
exactly.
think about money logically.
That contradicts that other one.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. But that one right there is kind of deep. That's one you can... Sad to say, but it's more than likely correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And it says, average people live beyond their means. Rich people live below theirs. Wait a minute. That's kind of rich. Average people live beyond their means. Rich people live below theirs. So you
I
live
know
below
an
your means.
Of that. You have a lot of people who are in that low to medium income level that
mm-hmm.
constantly go out here and buy clothes and this, that, and the other, and a lot of them designer and this, that, and the other. I know of some rich people personally. I swear, they wear their gym shoes until they fall off of their feet.
Yeah.
They do. Their jeans, oh, my God. It'd be like, mm-hmm. I bet you a pair of jeans. Because it's like they don't spend money. They have these big, huge houses. You walk
mm-hmm.
in these houses, there's nothing in that house. There's no furniture. There's no, it's like, you know, because they have that image, I guess, of opulence. But it's like, oh, wow. And I've known of several who have done that. But like I said, when they come to the clothes, they, literally their gym shoes fall off of their feet. They have
yes, they do.
Everything else. So
wow.
that could happen truth to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't want to spend too much money. They want to hoard as much as they can.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, that is true. They do, some of them do live below their means because it was a family that they would recycle. Well, they had these rags that they would actually wipe their butt with after they have a BM and wash them out and use them over and over. That was saving toilet paper. And, you know, just crazy stuff. Ain't no way in the world. But, you know, they were wealthy, just trying to hold on to their money. But trust and believe, when they die, ain't nothing going behind them. They got nothing of value. They go in that grave by themselves. Okay, the next one. Average people teach their children how to survive. Rich people teach their kids to get rich. What do you think of that?
They teach them how to survive. They teach their sons and daughters, especially their sons. Especially white male. They groom their sons to take over the business, to continue on. That's what they do. They want to make sure their son Johnny or Philip or Gregory is right in line to take over when they are old.
Yep.
But if they disagree, but if they do something outside of what their great granddaddy or their daddy want, then they kick their asses out of the family.
Yes, they do. You get no inheritance here. Yes, they do.
Wow.
Yeah. The next one is, average people let money stress them out. Rich people find peace of mind in wealth. Well,
average people don't have the wealth a lot of times. That's why they're stressed out.
Right. Mm-hmm. And rich people be stressing too, you know, because one thing, money is not, can't buy happiness.
No.
You know, just like money can buy you a bed, but it can't buy you sleep.
Yes.
You know, so they think just because they have these things and they're going to live forever and ever and ever, they're not. They cannot buy their health. They cannot buy their happiness.
Mm-mm.
You know, so they're stressed too. Why do some of these millionaires, why are they killing themselves if they so got it so good? You know, they got peace of mind in their wealth, but yet still they're killing themselves, killing their whole family. But they got
not
peace
happy.
Of mind.
Yep.
Right.
They're not happy.
Right. We have another caller. Let me bring this caller in. 334, are you there?
Hey, Dallas.
Hey.
Miss Kane.
This is Granny.
You got anything you want to add to any of these ways?
Rich people think differently? What you say, Mondukes?
Do you have any thing you want to add to the ones, the ways that I've read, ways rich people think differently?
No, not really, honey. You know how I feel about that. I was just talking with somebody today about trying to act like, you know what I'm saying, that black people. I just come in and say a little something. I don't want to get too deep in it, but you know what? I don't like certain men that's from New York because they feel like they are so different from the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm. And why is that?
Girl, don't get me started. I was talking to this dude who gonna hit me up today on business. So, okay, I'm like, all right, whatever. So he gets to, after he done beat around the bush for about 30 damn minutes, then he get to the point of what he was talking about, what he wanted to do business about. Come to find out, he want to sell some knockoff-ass purses in my area. Now, he in New York, but he want to sell some purses and some stuff down here. Dude, you ain't finna pull off trying to sell no knockoff-ass Louis Vuitton purses in Alabama for no $200. Now you might sell for about 20 or 30. Maybe
I can go to the flea market and get one for 30 or 40.
You feel me?
And exactly.
Look here. Somehow the conversation it just went left field, and he started talking about, you know, black folks talking about that these bitches. Cause see, that's how they refer to females. Some of these New York and Cali dudes. If these bitches want to go out here and spend that much money on them, then I'm the one to sell it to them. See, all we do is we waste our money on stuff that we really don't need. Look, fool. If a person is rich, if they feel like they want to buy something, they're going to buy it. And you can't stop them from doing that. The, mm-hmm. the manufacturers of the damn rims to go on my car, hell, you shouldn't have made the rims. I wouldn't have wanted to put them on my car. I mean, no matter how stupid it might sound, it's just the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I asked him, I said, so I had to shut him up real quick. He talking all this big boy talk. I said, so what you got in your closet? I said, what kind of car you drive? And he got a little quiet. Yeah, I know it.
Mm.
Like, you just going to be shucking and jiving through life, not trying to be a cheap ass. You a lie, nigga. You a lie. But some of them New York folks, I can't stand them. No disrespect to my co-host, Tammy Jones, because I know she from the NY. Yeah, ma'am. But I called in, Mom Deuce, because you know I like to share.
Anytime, girl. You know tonight is open topic. We're talking about everything, and I just wanted to share this, you know, how the rich feel about the average. And I really think that, you know, it's who the average people are opposed to the rich people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I ain't going to say nothing inappropriate, but that's just how I'm feeling about this, because who are the average people?
Me and you.
That's what I'm talking
mm-hmm.
about.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody else that's on their phone line.
That's exactly what I'm talking about, you know, but this is how they think. This is how they feel. You know, they got their money and they gone. So, you know, I you know, just wanted to share that. We only have go on.
I want to throw in something extra since you talked about how rich folks do. Let me tell you about this developer down here in my area in Alabama. Okay, they brought this thing, this big old hall. They spent $80 million just on the facility and the,
mm-hmm.
and the property.
Mm.
Bingo. Basically, you can say that, I ain't going to say it fall up under gambling, but kind of, sort of. So, I think it was 2 years ago, the state, oh, my God, they just was going in on these casino halls, bingo halls and stuff. Because, you know, Alabama country, they behind. That's why I got to get the hell on. They ain't even got
mm-hmm.
a lottery. Anywho,
mm.
he got caught, him and some mofos, senators, all this shit. They was taking money from him and some of his people. You know what I'm saying? The board of committee for, like, this development for the place, for the facility. Because, you know,
mm-hmm.
there'll be like a group of investors. That's what they is, investors. So he got caught up. Some other people got caught up. He got sentenced to 6 years, 8 months in prison.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me why his ass still out on the streets. They keep postponing his date to go to jail. Okay, the
mm-hmm.
dude's supposed to have surgery. Okay, they done postpone that shit. Now, this coming Saturday, which is tomorrow, his friends is having a big get-together for the, I don't know if y'all ever heard of Bama Jam, but Bama Jam is something that they have every year for the last 3 or 4 years in Enterprise, Alabama. That's
mm-hmm.
where they bring in, like, country, western music singers and all this stuff. Them people bank in about $10 to $20 million just off a three-damn-day event. No
mm-hmm.
white folks be coming in from all across the United States. He out doing his thing, chilling, and you done got caught with bribery and all that shit. Now, I want to know why you still out. It's probably because he got money.
Mm-hmm.
Because that would have been a nigga, he would have never made bail, and his ass would have been locked up already.
Well, that's how they do high officials. They give them a chance to get their stuff together, to get their business together, to do this and do that. Then they got to report to jail, you know, say they give them 30 days or, you know, something like that. And, you know, then you have to turn yourself in. in 30 days. But the average person now would be locked right up.
Mm-hmm.
That's how that goes. So, you know, that's to be expected because I've seen it done here. You know, people in high officials, they get to go to their children's graduations or to go stay with their mother-in-law. She's sick and all of that kind of stuff. Then, you know, you turn yourself in.
That's not right.
I know it's not, but that's how they do it.
Yeah, because they have sympathy. They have sympathy for them. Bill, we know you did. Now, you know, and we know that you did something wrong now, but this is what we're going to do. We're going to allow just so much things to go past. We're going to charge you a little something for right now just to make it look good, but the rest of the charges you don't worry about, okay? You just do me a favor next time we come through, all right? You give me X amount of dollars. I'll take care of that for you. I'll have the judge and the lawyer, we're going to get on the same page, and this is what we're going to do to handle it. So you go on home to your wife and your kids. You got kids. You got a family to take care of. We can't have you out here acting a fool.
Yeah, I know.
Now, you go on doing
that. Exactly what you do.
Exactly. And when Tyrone comes before him, well, this nigga got to go. We've got to do something about this. We cannot have you going around here acting up, tearing up, showing disrespect. Even I know your mama, boy.
You got to say that like
that.
Uncle. You got to say that like Uncle Rookus. Nah. Negress. You can't handle acting like negress.
Exactly.
Like that dude. Y'all seen that video where that black dude punched his damn public defender? Now he was wrong. He was getting 15 years, and he did commit the crime. But we all know as black folks, public defenders ain't trying to help no damn body. And
they,
y'all should have seen that poor white man. That poor white man was so shook because he go talk about some, I'm not a fighter. We know you ain't because he knocked the hell out of the way. I bet that nigga going to wear. I bet that nigga going to be at court with a helmet on. Oh, that them nigga's crazy.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, boy. Woo.
Mm-hmm. Listen, y'all think about that lady that slept with them five football players out there in Texas and come to
she
find out they was
to
all
play
black.
Like she,
yeah.
was, she tried to play like she was the victim.
I'm
you
not
know, she knew exactly what she was doing.
Don't they always play the victim?
Oh, they did. Mm-hmm. She knew daggone well what she was doing, but she wanted to flip the script because she's locked up. I think, what, she get 5 years or something?
Yeah.
She should have got life, you know, because, and then she's saying, well, they was 18 and 19, whatever, they were your students. You don't do that to students. Students, I can't even imagine. One time I went to, Lamont had this event at this high school, right? So I went with him, and I'm looking around to see if it was any high school boys that would interest me. And I, you know, I'm just looking at they're all kids.
I don't do young ones. I don't do that young meat.
Mm-mm. Right, that's what I'm talking about. I'm just saying, some of these women, these school teachers, need to be. Oh my God! Remember the one Laterno? Was her name Laterno?
Yeah.
The one that had the baby by the guy.
Oh,
had
yeah.
two kids.
Oh,
and
yeah.
got married. She went to jail 7 years. Are they still together?
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah,
I know they got married, but I'm just saying, are they still together? Because he
yeah.
definitely. They're still
he's
together?
Trying, they be turning
yeah,
them
he's still tearing
out.
That old stuff up.
They be turning mm-hmm. them out because you see, she done sucked them little niggas off so good, honey. They now one of their asses want to testify. Let Miss Johnson go.
And then they was taping it. She knew that they was taping it.
I bet her husband feel like the donkey of the day. Embarrassing. Mm. Straight embarrassing. I couldn't.
Wow.
Man.
That is horrible. Did you hear about the 39-year-old man that got the 12-year-old girl pregnant?
Oh.
I mean,
that
what happened?
That got shot recently.
No. He didn't. He's not dead. And she's not dead. But what had happened was he had started molesting her when she was 11.
Oh.
And she, when she was 12, she has pains in her stomach, Mother take her to the doctor, find out she's 10 weeks pregnant. This is when she tells on the guy. And they locked him. I think he's locked up, but they're trying to figure out whether the girl is going to have the baby or not. I mean, keep the baby. But you know what? Let me say this. These men who rape women, children, whatever they're raping, animals and all this kind of stuff, you know what? They need to cut their penis off without any type of anesthesia. Just put it on a board, take a big knife, cut it off, slice it, fry it, and feed it to them. That's what they need to do to these rapists. And a rapist, just like a murderer, should go to jail and never get out. Never, because they don't change. They still have that mentality and that mindset when they get out of jail, because you know as soon as a child molester get out, the first thing he do is going to try to find somebody's child that he can watch and molest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that
burns
me.
Like doing certain,
Yeah, it does.
I mean, in certain countries, they execute them.
Right, I saw over in, I think it was Iraq, they put this man's penis on a rock because he had raped a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And you know them big swords they have or machetes or whatever?
Doors.
And cut it off. And they had everybody standing around watching.
Yep.
They
right after evening, right after the afternoon prayer, that's when they do it. Right after afternoon prayer, they bring you in the middle, right in the middle of the damn arena. And that's where they carry
mm-hmm.
it out.
They do the medical castration, you know, giving them medication so they can't get hard. Oh, no. Mm-mm. Because once they get out and they stop taking that medication, they're going to get an erection, and it's going to be on their mind to go out and do what they do.
Yeah.
So my thing is, just like they let this other young girl, she was raped on a cruise ship. And they did nothing about it. So she posted it on Facebook, on Twitter, the guy's names
that.
Who raped her. You saw it?
I think I heard about that. It's been recent,
mm-hmm.
ain't it?
Yeah. But she did that. And do you know that they tried to sue her?
Uh-huh.
You know, see, when a person is raped, they try to make the victim feel like the victim feel like the suspect. Make you feel
yeah.
like it was your fault. You asked for it, and that's what you got.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but people just don't know. I was raped when I was 15 years old, and that is something that has been with me and is going to be with me until I leave this earth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I just feel so sorry for babies. And I know y'all heard about the guy who's was putting his penis in his 4-month-old baby's mouth, and the condom came off, and the baby choked to death.
Oh,
Sydney.
Yeah, yeah. Now see, my blood boils over when I hear things like that happening to anybody, especially innocent, defenseless babies. You raping a baby from the time they're 5 years old until they're 13 years old, or you raping a baby from 5 years old until they just get so fed up, until they just go crazy or kill you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then everybody wants to, oh, well, it was her fault, it was her fault. No, it wasn't her fault. And then they be saying, and then some of these rape victims don't even tell. Out of fear, some out of fear, some out of shame, embarrassment, humiliation, you know, but tell. You need to tell.
Yeah.
Because if somebody is raping you, you know, I had a couple of my girlfriends one of my girlfriends was being molested by, raped by her father, you know, and she told her mother that she didn't want to go and, you know, spend time with him. But she didn't tell her mother what was going on, so she would make her go over there anyway. You know, you need to tell. And if somebody tell you they're going to kill your parents and stuff like that, tell them anyway. Because 9 times out of 10, they're just threatening. And if they're not threatening, by the time you tell them, they get the law on their butt. they be the ones up in jail getting killed. Because you know what? They cannot stand child molesters or abusers in jail. They don't. They do not like them at all. And they make that known. So if you go up in jail, that's why they put you in PC. Because they already know. You come in there, oh, what you do? I raped a five-year-old. Oh, you did? Okay. So they wait till that night, get their little shank out, and you are dead. That's what happens to molesters. And rightfully so. You know, I'm against the death penalty and all this and that, but it should be something done extreme to these rapists so another rapist can say, oh, well, I don't think I want to do that. Because I'm going to tell you, if it was left up to me, I would cut their penis off, cut their tongue out, cut their hands off and their feet, and put them on display and say, if you rape somebody, this is what's going to happen to you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, it may not stop rape, but I bet it'll cut down on it.
Yeah, yeah. If it was enforced like that, that shit would cut, it would cut it down immediately.
Mm-hmm.
They know they were going to get punished for it like that.
Right, right. But see, they don't really give them the time for the crime. And this one chick, this guy had, was trying to rape her. So she told him to put on a condom because some of these men are going out here raping women that have HIV.
Oh,
so
yep.
They're angry. So they're going to get as many other people as they can. So she asked him to put on a condom. When she went to court, because they had got him and all this and that, and he sat up there and said it was consensual because she told me to, you know, wear a condom. So, you know, naturally the court is going to believe that. Because who is going to tell somebody who's being raped to put on a condom?
You know what?
If a guy was going to rape me today or tomorrow, I definitely would tell him to put on a condom. Because, number one, if I survive that, and then turn around, he didn't use a condom, and I got AIDS. I mean, what's the point?
Mm-hmm. Well, if a woman says no at any time or stop, and he proceeds after that, that's considered rape?
Yeah, it's considered rape because
yeah.
No means no.
So, right,
and if you could,
exactly.
If you take it from a woman, if she tell, even if you're getting ready, if you got your clothes off and you all snuggled up, you may put it in, and she say no, and you do it, that's rape. You know, husbands rape their wives, boyfriends rape their girlfriends. You know, it's terrible, 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 terrible. Also, I was on internet, and this woman was kicked in her genitals by the LAPD cop. She dies in police custody. I'm going to read this to you guys really quick. At least five Los Angeles police officers are being investigated after 35-year-old Alicia Thomas died in police custody. On July 22nd, Thomas reported he left her two children, a 3-year-old and a 12-year-old, at the LAPD's Southeast Station after allegedly telling officers that she could no longer care for them because of her drug addiction. Officers were assigned to look for Thomas and found her at her home in the 9000 block of South Broadway in Los Angeles. After being questioned, the officers arrested her on suspicion of child endangerment, but Thomas became actively resistant arrest. One of the officers took her down by sweeping her legs from underneath her. One of the officers reportedly went as far as kicking her in the genitals during the arrest. Two others handcuffed Thomas' hands behind her back and attempted to lead her to the patrol car while a supervising sergeant observed, according to the department's version. The department's version. Now, listen to that. Two more officers were summoned as Thomas continued to struggle. Green confirmed that Thomas was a large woman. A hobble resistant device and adjustable strap was tightened around Thomas' ankles to give the officers more control, and she was eventually placed in the back of the patrol car, the LAPD account said. The official account, however, made no mention of what Green confirmed was a female officer's questionable treatment of Thomas. The department's account said officers immediately notified paramedics. It is unclear whether the officers attempted to resuscitate her or how much time passed before paramedics arrived. Thomas died shortly after being transported to a hospital. Thomas' case is not the only one that has put the LAPD in the national spotlight over allegations of police brutality. On August the 21st, Michelle Jordan was slammed to the ground by LAPD cops after being pulled over for talking on her cell phone. Back in May, Brian Mulliken, managing director and vice chairman of Medic and Telecommunications for Deutsche Bank, became another victim of LAPD. And let's see. And Ronald Weekly was punched while being pinned to the ground by the LAPD cops in August. You know, I saw the picture of this lady that you're talking about was, you know, so big, but she really wasn't all that big from what I saw, not to the point where all these officers had to put a hobble resistance device. Now, what is a hobble resistance device? That sounds a little stereotype to me. Then this policewoman kicks her in her genitals. What was that all about?
That's excessive force.
Right, and then they talk about she was resisting arrest. You know, it's just an excuse, I believe, for the police, because the police is gun happy and beat up people happy, you know, the average people. Mm-hmm. And it's just sickening to me.
If we don't start trying to keep taking a stand against something, it's going to keep on happening. You seen where they just killed, wait, where that story was, I have to look it up on the internet, but they just did another killing of some innocent, I think it was a black male or some junk, and then I seen one where they beat up this doggone black college student. His name, oh my God, Jesus.
I think I remember that incident.
That dude I know he got to be from across that water, because, honey, listen to him. His name is something kind of crazy, but it's just the point. They can just do whatever they want to us, and it's just all right. The police department don't justify it as a justifiable ass whooping.
Right.
And they're going to dismiss charges. Let them go home with paid leave. God, I can't stand folks. Oh.
What about the 84-year-old grandmother they killed?
Well, shame.
Yeah.
One in Atlanta?
Trying to think of where that happened at. But she had heard some noises in her backyard or something like that as she goes out there. And the police was coming around the back. And I don't know if they said she had a weapon or what had happened, but they shoot first and then ask questions. Sometimes I don't even ask no questions. Just shoot and that's it.
Internal affairs clear them all the time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Just like in the Rodney King case. And who was – it was somebody else that got beat up real bad by the police. And they have filmed it.
Oh, there's so many cases. I mean,
Just think if whoever, that started way back. When did Rodney King get beat up? In the 80s?
90s.
The 90s.
Right. Now, that person who filmed that, I understand he had gotten in and they was harassing him.
Of course.
But see, if they didn't have that on tape, they would have took Rodney King in there and said that he had resisted arrest. And then when they had the trial, they had the audacity to show the tape in the court, and they turned it around to the point saying, well, look at him, he's resisting arrest.
Yep.
How in the world was he resisting arrest when he's trying to get away from all them sticks and kicks and punches and... Whoo, that's why they tore Watts up, tore it up,
yeah.
And, you know, killing people and all
wrong.
That kind
they
of stuff, you know.
But they have it in, are you know, the big kicker is they talk about they have it with a jury of their peers. Well, the peers are always all white. That's
right.
Why one of the reasons they get away with it, because they always do that. They always talk about it. They bitch about if they put, you know, it's all black jury or all jury of all people of color, but it can't be, there's nothing wrong with having a jury of all white people, but that's my peer. That's bullshit. It's racist and plain
yeah.
and simple. Because
yes,
they know
is.
They're going to get a conviction if they put all white people on there. It's just like what they used to do when they were lynching them. It's no different.
That's where
yeah.
they get it from, the Willie Lynch. What it is, what that mess is.
Willie Lynch papers, mm-hmm.
yeah.
letters, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
This is And did, I know y'all heard about the 14-year-old girl who was pregnant, and she killed her baby.
Yeah,
when it
I
came
seen
out,
that mess.
In the toilet, and then she cut the umbilical cord off and choked it to death. And her mother, they say her mother didn't know that she was pregnant, but a couple of her aunts did. But my thing is, whoever knew this girl was pregnant and she got rid of that baby, all of them should be charged with it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of them. And then she put the baby in a shoebox, hid it in the closet. But, oh, my God, it's just...
sick.
Yeah, it's sickening.
Look out here.
Mm-hmm. It's sickening.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a sick world out there, and we live in it, and, you know, gotta look out for our babies, look out for our senior citizens, and look out for people who are defensive, and, you know, just keep our wits about us, because I'm telling you, the devil is busy. He real busy.
Mm-hmm.
So, anybody else got anything they want to discuss?
Shoot. After all that, I don't know. I mean, there was, what was that I was reading? Oh, there was so many different things I was reading. Oh, Nicole Kidman refused to say the N-word in a movie script.
Oh, why is that?
Because there's some movie she was in, and she was supposed to call, according to the script in the movie, one of the characters a nigger, and she refused
mm-hmm.
to do it. She's like, "I have a black, I have an African American child. I don't want to say that. Well, I don't feel comfortable saying it. I'm not going to."
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, shit, you should have told Gwyneth Paltrow that. let me see. The other one
so
was
Gwyneth Paltrow said it.
One
wow.
of the people from the NAACP was threatened by from Obama. By an Obama staffer.
What happened?
Because he said, because the article went, he was, let's see if I can pull up this article, because I just seen it about an hour ago on yourblackworld.com. And the pastor was like, he didn't really support Obama. He probably wasn't going to vote for him because of certain issues that he doesn't agree with that the Obama administration has done. And the staffer was like, look, we know who you are, we know what you do, and we have a clear understanding of who you are, and we're watching
mm-hmm.
you.
Mm.
This is what a staffer of the Obama administration said to this pastor. I believe it was a pastor or it was a member of the NAACP, I know that.
Mm.
And I was like, wow.
Say what?
they were talking about, he was threatening. That's pretty much what he was doing. He was threatening them.
Who did it?
You know, one of the members of the Obama administration.
Wow.
Somebody in the Obama administration.
Mm.
See, that's when
it
gets ugly. So, you know, I'm not a political person. I'm not, you know, into all that kind of stuff. But I was watching a little teeny bit of the debate, and I watched as much as I could. And that was it.
I think that Obama was, I heard that he's saving, you know what I'm saying, the good stuff for the last debate. I didn't know they had more than two debates or more than one debate. I guess that goes to show y'all be half-ass watching that stuff myself, but I just felt like, let me tell you something, Romney know that he done messed up all the way up until this debate, and he came strong. That's what happened. I give it to him. He was he might have was going left field with some shit, but he was coming strong. Obama was sitting up there like he was just ready to get the hell up out of there because it's being Michelle's anniversary, and I'm ready to get this penis, so I ain't got time to be your typical nigga.
Yeah. Okay, from the article, NAACP official David Lowry said he was threatened during a phone conversation with Lewis Raymond, an Illinois politician, director of Obama for America. And Lowry is the president of the Southern Suburban branch of the NAACP in Chicago, and says Raymond threatened him after Lowry told the campaign he doesn't personally support the president because he's not addressing issues important to the black community. Lowry said he was explaining that to Raymond when the Obama campaign staffer told him, "You know what? I know everything about you," Lowry said. Raymond then added, "We've been watching you, and since you don't support Obama, we'll deal with you," before hanging up on him.
Wow. Well, that sounds kind of ugly to me.
Don't it?
Yeah.
We'll deal with you
ugly.
If you don't support?
Wow, I thought people had their, you know, freedom of speech and freedom to vote for whoever they wanted to. But, you know, I'm not even in all that stuff because I don't vote. I'm not going to vote. And, you know, what happens is going to happen. So, you know, so be it.
Don't tell them.
That's
tell
how
to
I
me
feel
black.
Because nobody is going to make the changes in this world that need to be made because they can't.
Right.
They can't. You know, if it could be done, we wouldn't have been having president after president after president, governor after governor after governor. You know, all these different, man cannot handle it. So this is why we're in the turmoil that we're in. Things are going crazy. And like I said, the devil's very busy, real busy. So, you know, did you guys know that Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of this month have 5 days? It's five Mondays. 5 Tuesdays and 5 Wednesdays in October. This only happens every 800 some years.
Oh, ain't that something? I'm looking at the calendar right now.
Yep. And my birthday is next Tuesday, the 9th.
Okay.
Yes, it is.
So you're a Libra, right?
Yes, sir. So they say.
All right.
Yeah, my birthday is October the 9th. So I might have a little something on the 9th, even though we're going to be back on Wednesday as well. And, you know, but I'm just glad that you guys called in. I'm glad that I have listeners out there and, you know, people who like my show and even the people who don't like it, but you listen.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate that.
You
know, I must be saying or doing something right because you're listening, you know. You're listening
right.
On the down low or whatever, but, you know, I appreciate that. You know, go tell all your friends, you know, to tune in to Delicious Talk on Wednesday and the first and the last Friday of the month. And it's all good. It's all good. Miss Kane, you want to put your show out there?
Yeah, I suppose so. Monday night's celebrity gossip and new music. That's blogtalkradio.com/ Miss Kane Promotions. And normally I set some shows doing Tuesdays and Wednesdays and Thursday, but here lately I've been lazy. And I'm probably not going to set no more Wednesday shows because Mom Dukes be on, and I be having to go there and see what she talk about because she be talking about sex, and I'm a freaky type of lady. Mom Dukes, I got your next topic, too. Okay. The five things, I put it on Facebook, the five things that men say in the bedroom. When you're doing it. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. We can talk about that.
Yeah, ma'am.
Thanks, Tammy, for the happy birthday wish, darling. And Tammy has a show. Her show airs. Her show's still Wednesday, right? I thought it was early. What time does her show come on, Miss Kane, now?
I think she's back to, that's my co-host, shout out to her, back to regular scheduled programming, which I think is 1 o'clock p.m. But Tammy put one in on us the other morning. I got her because
right.
I missed her Wednesday show. I said, Tammy, ain't nobody know who the hell that black dude from 30 Rock was, but you go ahead on, mama, because you pulled it off. You pulled it off.
No, that's right. Well, she has a show Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's entertainment. Is Tammy's show. That's every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Please go over there and support her. Even though sometimes I be looking up and the clock be saying 2 o'clock and I say I missed it again, but I am going to be a little bit more conscious of coming, you know, by the show, Tammy. And I do appreciate you stopping by my show. Like I said, I appreciate anybody who stops by. You know, lets me know that you're interested and you like what you hear. And even if you don't, you're still listening. So, you know, what can I say? Now, every Wednesday, me and my co-host Rhea and Danny, we do Bringing Sexy Back, and that show is for mature listening audience only. That's 18 and up. So every Wednesday at 10:30 at Delicious Talk, come on, stop by, and you might learn something. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
And on Friday, that's the first Friday of the month and the last Friday of the month, I'm on. This Friday we did Open Topic. You know, that's what we do on the Fridays now. Either, you know, I may have a guest on, or if you have a topic you want me to discuss on my Friday show, send that to me at gjdelicious37@gmail.com. And the end of the month is my musical show. This Friday coming, which is the 26th, not coming, but the end of the month Friday, the 26th, I'll be having slow jams. And if you have any songs you want to hear, you could call in. And if I got it, I'll play it. If not, I'll try to get it on my playlist.
You need to start doing your shows too, Mom Dukes.
Oh, thank you, darling.
Thank you. You're welcome.
And you guys look out for Antoine T. Money. That's my first client in my new publishing company, which I started in January of this year. His book is soon to be released. The title is Back to Zero. Go over to my page and check out the trailer. Very, very good book, I must say so myself.
Okay.
That will be coming out soon. And if anybody has manuscript that you want to be turned into a book, you can send that. You go to my website, which is JJ, that's J-A-Y publishing.com, and submit your manuscript, and I'll look it over. And if it's one that I feel it needs to be out there, I'll definitely put it out there for you. And let's see, do I have anything else I want to talk about? Oh, my birthday. My birthday. Ah, I just love it when my birthday comes around. I'll be 63 years young. I can't wait, though, you know, because it's been a lot of years, and, you know, when I look back, it just seemed like it was only yesterday that I had did things that I did when I was young, because I'm still young at heart. I definitely am still young at heart. I still do things that I could do coming up, some things I can't do. I can't really ride a bicycle all that good anymore, and I can't skate anymore, but, you know, I'm going to get back into that, but I'm loving life, doing what I love to do.
Can you still drop it like it's hot?
Oh, definitely, child. You know.
Have mercy. They say you as old as
ma'am.
You feel, so, honey, go ahead. Oh, you blessed.
Uh-huh. That's the truth. You're only old as you feel. And I really, you know, I do have my aches and pains. I'm not going to lie, you know. But I still feel in my heart, I still feel like I'm in my 20s. I really do. I most definitely do. But, you know, I know that I'm an older woman and, you know, I have to conduct myself as such, but I'm still a child at heart. So with that being said, thank you guys again for stopping by. Thank all the flies on the wall. Thank you, Rhea. Thank you, Miss Kane. Thank you, Tammy, Blackman37, and the guest that was in the chat room. Hope you guys have a – this is a long weekend, too, isn't it?
Not for me.
Hope you guys – okay. You guys have a good weekend and see you back here Wednesday.
You too.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Everybody.